favorite astrology program, It's All in the Stars, with astrologer Hassan Jaffer. And now, here's your host for tonight, Michael Cervini.
And welcome to our show, It's All in the Stars. This is your astrologer, Hassan Jaffer. And we are lucky to have our good friend Sherwin in Los Angeles, actually, on the other line. Hi, Sherwin, are you there?
Hello, yes, how are you?
Hi, Sherwin. And we have Moon in Aquarius going into Pisces. The weather we have in Toronto, it's all cloudy. It's sort of misty and raining, which we wrote in October 86. I wonder if it's still there like that also. How's the weather in Los Angeles?
It's really nice and sunny.
I see, so it's not raining yet, yeah?
No.
For the next 2-3 days, you will hear about storms and all kinds of things, you know.
Even here or over there?
Well, you know, this is this interesting point, because I found it every time, wherever I am, I find maybe some moon tests off my Saturn or something, but normally you'll find all around the world, you'll find whether it's raining or storms are, when the storms come in, when moon is in Pisces, there are some huge storms. And then as soon as it starts going into Aries, the storms always go away. They sort of they drift away and all that, you know.
Really interesting.
Like the last 2 days, moon has been in Aquarius, so which has to do with the whole parasympathetic nervous system. Anybody who has any spine problems or neck problems, they get into that, you know.
Right. It's been cooler here too, though. A little bit cooler.
Is it right? I see.
Yeah.
But it's sort of a, you know, when it's the next 2-3 days are very sort of sacred days to me. You know, they're very sort of holy days, and we have some sad news usually. But it's very, very inspirational for music and, you know, the string type of music that you hear. And like this type, for example, I'm just playing this, just a chord on the Korg. That's exactly Pisces theme. And you know, when Titanic, you know, when all these people drowned, moon was in Pisces.
Right.
And as you know, these violinists, they were actually playing the violin as they were drowning also. Before that, there was such a sense of sacrifice, it'll be fine.
The Pisces loves that.
Yeah, we are starting a website, actually, astrotrends.net/events. And that one, you'll be able to put in the day, any date of birth, I mean, any date in there, it'll tell you exactly what kind of things to expect in the world, as world events.
Right.
Yeah, and even the past also, what world events happen and the reasoning and all that, so we are keeping on doing that as well.
Seeing the site, it's fantastic. Very in-depth, you know.
Thanks, yeah. I was looking at, you know, I was looking at Reverend, you know that Moon sang, that fellow?
Which one?
You know, the Reverend Moon. You know that, he started that cult, remember?
Oh, yeah, it sounds a little familiar.
Myung Sang, that's right. So he started this thing. He had an accident yesterday with a helicopter. There were some people injured and all that. He's recovering now. But I had a quick look at the chart. I bet you he had Scorpio rising. And he has Saturn in his ninth house. And in his sky, there's a Mars-Saturn conjunction, which is action and configuration for anybody. I mean, this applies to everybody. They are prone to skin, teeth, and bone injuries, specifically the kneecap. And it's been going on for about a week, last week, till about next week. But in his case, it exactly touched off his natal Saturn, the Mars-Saturn conjunction in the ninth house. And everything fits so perfectly. I don't even have to rectify the chart. He has Mercury and Venus in Sagittarius. He has Leo in the ninth house, which gives that Messiah complex that he felt when he was about 13 or 14 years old. Jesus spoke to him and all kind of things that happened, just like Mary Baker Eddy, and she had this aspect too with it. Leo in the ninth house. Like, be careful of the Messiah complex.
Rising. Sagittarius rising?
No, but I don't think it's Sagittarius rising. I think it's Scorpio rising.
Oh, okay.
So, and that's why. But the thing is, it puts Mars in Libra in his 11th house. Now, Libra is a sign for partnerships and all this marriage and relationships. And he's known for mass marriages. Like they do like 300 marriages at a time, for example.
Okay. And does that mean he would have difficulty with them too because Mars is in that sign or no?
Well, I was thinking whether Mars is in the 10th house or 11th house, but I'm sure 11th house. Because 11th house all these, you know, the trade fairs wherever there's a lot of gathering of people.
Right,
and because of Mars, it's just a physical activity in that area. It normally can be strife aspect, but it's actually, like he's using it constructively, actually.
Mm-hmm.
In the religious way and all that, but the Libra theme, Of course, he might have conflicts with other people that they'll say, how can you have so many marriages? It seems to work for him, actually.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
So we added the elements also, you know, on our website, myastrolove.net. It's really getting somewhere. It's all free right now. So before we have subscriptions or anything, people should really start taking use of that. They can actually register, then it will show their chart. And the interpretation, when you mouse over, it will show you the interpretation also. You can compare your chart with other celebrities.
Right.
And or celebrity with celebrity. Just to see the validity of astrology.
That's excellent.
It's coming out quite well. But the
it's your own interpretations that you put in there. So.
That's right, yes. Yeah. And I've got the synastry module also. So and synastry, the word itself, some people may be confused with it. And syn means to be in harmony with. An aster, as you know, is the stars.
That's
so synastry is out of compatibility. It's ironic that everybody seems to know the antonym of that, which is disaster.
Oh.
So whoever put disaster, the name, in English language must have been very much familiar with astrology. Not being in harmonious relationship with the stars. That's a literal translation, disaster.
Right.
So synastry. And now... one of the things I find really interesting in that are the elements. You know, last time we were talking about the elements, that when you put fire and earth together or fire and water together, what happens?
Right.
That's a very, very nice combination thing to understand as immediate aspect of a chart. Like when you put fire and earth together, it becomes a real steamroller combination. There was a very good astrologer. Her name was Zipporah Dobbins, and she passed away, actually, you know. I met her, actually, before, and she loved my palmistry, actually. And she was also into these themes. That when you put the earth and fire together, she used to call me a real steamroller, since I have that, it was her expression, the steamroller theme. Because earth gives the sustenance, the ability to finish what you start, even when things get boring. And fire gives a constant enthusiasm, and when you're starting up new things all the time.
Right.
And so the fire and earth is very, they may have difficulty understanding people's limitations, actually. And
but
then
you're talking about professional partnership, not relationship.
Like anybody who has no, in the natal chart I'm talking about.
Oh.
In the natal chart, the combination of elements, you know, fire, earth, air, and water.
Uh-huh.
If a person has a lot of fire planets and a lot of earth planets,
yeah,
those people are constantly on the go. They keep on taking new challenges, but also keep on finishing things as well.
Right. Yeah.
If you have fire and air combination, that's a very positive combination in PR. Because fire gives enthusiasm, the dynamic personality, and the enthusiasm, and the confidence, and air gives the ability to communicate.
And
the two things are very, very important. So a lot of the best PR people are born with that.
Interesting.
The fire and water combination aspect would be a very real sort of a moody combination, and I think you may have some of that, but you also have the fire and earth, but you have some water planets too.
But
the fire and water gives, they keep on going back and forth in these two moods. It creates a steam. It reminds me of these Greek, for acting is fantastic, because you have all these emotions of the water, then you've got the dynamic enthusiasm of the fire.
Yes.
So real up and down in the moods.
Absolutely, right on the money,
So for actors, I guess, they can make people cry, they can make them laugh.
Might as well get paid for it.
So that must be one of your talents. And but when you take the air and earth combination, of course, there's nothing there. I mean, but many CPAs are born with that. It's a very sort of a dry combination, air and earth.
Yeah.
Many people do the chartered accountancy and many of the auditors and all. It's like a creative problem solving.
Makes sense. Yeah.
And,
very logical.
Because the boring stuff is all the earth aspect, and they keep on going long enough to achieve something in a tangible way. And the air gives. You know, the communication ability, the problem-solving ability, of course.
Yes.
And I should also give the number, by the way. No, let me just quickly have a look at the... I keep forgetting our discussions. You know, they themselves become so interesting, but I will put in the number from USA if anybody wants to call in for live reading. It's 1-877-876-5227. And in Canada, it's 1-888-815-9756. And for a quick reading, if you want. So the other combination, of course, is the air and water. As you can expect, these are the natural psychologists.
Oh, I see.
Are you there, Shervin?
Yeah, I'm here.
And you see, the water gives, of course, as you know, the empathy, the compassion, the feelings, the sensitivity, and the intuition.
And
the air gives the communication ability.
Right.
So they can stand back and look at a problem from a totally objective viewpoint.
Yep.
The combination, like Dr. Joyce Brothers, for example, Venus in Scorpio, Mercury in Libra. So it's the air and water combination.
What is in Scorpio? Her son?
Venus is actually, I'm trying to remember if she was Libra or Scorpio, I forgot. But she has Mercury in Libra and Venus in Scorpio. So the air and water, any combination of that, for example, Mercury in Gemini, Venus in Cancer. So any of these combinations can give. Of course, they have different things about it, but that gives one of the things. And then you have, so those are the natural psychologists that you'll find. In social work, etc., you'll find there a lot, actually.
Yeah.
And what's the other combination you have? Fire.
I think we got all of them, didn't we? Fire, earth, fire, air.
And water. The earth and water is a very nurturing combination. Hello.
Yes.
Hi. How are you?
Hello.
So we're listening to our conversation here.
I'm enjoying your show.
How are you?
I'm enjoying your show very much.
Thanks. I'm sorry. Who am I speaking to?
My name is Jay.
Hi, Jen. What's your birthday?
2-12-48, 10 p.m.
So it's February the...
12th.
Yes.
1948. At 10 p.m. in the evening.
I see. Okay. Well, you know, we were just talking about the air and water combination. Or people who are like natural healers and natural psychologists. You definitely have that combination. You're born with Sun in Aquarius, which is the air sign. Then you have Mercury in the sign of Pisces and Moon in Pisces, actually. So the Mercury in Pisces being aspect, the deep sensitivity, the ability to stand. So the only thing is, in the beginning, you're very, very intuitive. But once you get attacked, you lose all your common sense and good sense and logic goes out the window.
Yes, I better stay single, huh?
Well, you're Venus in the sign of Aries, actually. And just that's a very strong placement. You have Venus aspected to Neptune. It's a wide opposition. The Venus-Neptune opposition makes people extremely romantic and very, very idealistic. But the person that you seek doesn't even exist. It's a very artistic aspect, actually. Many of the Renaissance artists perform that also. You know, in graphic arts and interior decoration, interior design, we find that you have a natural talent for all of that.
Year.
You do have that, right?
I just started painting, this year.
Yes, and but the man that you seek is a very sort of strong type personality. But the distinguishing mark of the person would be that he'll have a scar near the eyebrows, and this is before the marriage. Actually, Marilyn Monroe was born with Venus in Aries as well.
I was wondering about that opposition with the Saturn opposite my Sun, Saturn Mars,
and that's
kind of activated.
Well, it makes you a bit like a Capricorn. You'll accomplish more, but it's like a self-imposed restriction to some extent. And what's your rising sign, by the way, do you know?
Libra rising with Neptune exactly on my horizon.
Wow, that's a very idealistic placement with self. That means you want to find the highest ideal within yourself.
Yes.
Do you have sort of a slightly hazel eyes at all, or?
Excuse me?
What color eyes do you have?
What color eyes? Dark brown.
I see. Where are you originally from?
California. Oh, where am I from? India.
Oh, yes. Because in Indians, you don't find the green eyes as much. You'll find more with the Western people. But it's a very extremely sensitive chart, actually. But you're very assertive, very, very independent, and very not Indian when it comes to love matters.
Right.
You're much more independent. You're not as sacrificing in love matters, actually.
No.
Would have had to be careful of heart, though. That's that Sun in Leo. But it's a good thing that you know, America is very good for you, though. You have Libra rising, just like I put America as Libra rising. What do you think?
I think you're right. I think
it's like a Beauty and the Beast. You have Libra and Scorpio there.
Yeah.
Because so many events seem to fit in. So people who live in... Thank you very much. You do write to us, you know, at stargaze@astrotrends.net.
I will do that.
Okay. In the meantime, go to myastrolove.net and give us some feedback about the site. You can actually put in your date of birth and all. We'll give you all the interpretation and everything.
Okay.
Okay,
I was just wondering about this year. Is it going to have any surprises?
No, you're coming to major new cycle, actually. In about a month's time, all the delays, et cetera, is gone. What you do need to be careful of, end of this year, in about 2 months, till about next summer, that Saturn is going to be touching off your moon, which makes people feel a bit depleted. So you need more iron, you need more physical rest, and more sleep.
Wow, I
but
sleep very little now.
But the first 6 months
now.
Of next
okay.
year are fantastic for love matches, for relationships, everything. Yeah, because Jupiter is touching off your Venus, you know, at that time. Very positive.
Ah.
Starting, yes. In your own sign, in the sign of Aquarius. Okay, my dear?
Thank you.
Take care. You're welcome.
Blessed to be.
Thank you. So, Sherlyn.
I think that she would call when Moon is in Aquarius, and she's in Aquarius.
Yes. Yeah. That's a very important point. This is exactly what I wanted to tell her. It's almost the same degree as her sun sign, too. The moon is in Aquarius. The first caller is Aquarius. That's where the moon is. Very important point you brought up, Sherlyn.
Right.
One of the moon is in a certain sign. You know, these things, for granted, nowhere else you'll find these things. But you know, you have a lot of these type of knowledge. You know, that's very, very important on a daily basis how you use that. Like when Pope was shot, Moon was in Libra, and he was a Libra.
Who was
he was not shot. He was actually stabbed. Remember the last Pope?
Stabbed. Right.
And the Moon was in Libra. Oh, no, sorry. It was in Taurus, actually, when that Turkish fellow or something happened, and he was a Taurus, and Moon was in Taurus that time. So quite often you find that aspect happens, actually.
Yeah.
There are some interesting things about it. The last one that I was saying, you know, the elements... Sherlyn, was that earth and water combination is a very, very nurturing combination. It's probably the most healing combination. Whether in a person's chart and like in your own chart, people are born with that because earth gives us sustenance, the practicality, the productive aspect, and water gives a deep empathy for people. So the combination is that they don't just feel for people, they'll also buy them a hamburger, for example, if it's a beggar, for example. They'll do something constructive as well.
Right.
Like I remember in Manhattan, one of my Greek tycoons, you know, this fellow is like a billionaire, this fellow. And we were just walking on Manhattan, and then he saw this beggar's place, but the pillow was there and all that, the beggar wasn't there. So he bought these roses to everybody, and he put a rose right on the pillow there. And he had Venus and Pisces and all these things. I was telling him I think he would appreciate a hamburger more. But his Mercury and Pisces romantic, I said he actually bought a rose and left it for that beggar. You know, I thought it was such a touching thing. You know?
That is. That's fantastic.
Yeah. But have you seen the movie yet, by the way, of Keith Ledger?
No, I haven't been able to just because the lineups are so long here that
I'll
wait it out. I'll wait
it's
a few days.
It's so sad, you know, because he was in such a stressful aspect that Mars never... This is what we try to tell people when we do the reports and all that.
Yeah.
That I saw like a Mars-Neptune aspect. You see, most of these astrology reports, they'll say that Neptune is a creativity and Mars energizes it and you'll be very creative and very... All this goes up at a tangent, you know, that... and yet I find that Mars-Neptune is an aspect of poison, of drowning, of drug overdose.
Yeah.
And Britney Spears and Keith Ledger were both going through very similar aspects. That whole age group was going. They both had Neptune in Sagittarius for 6 months. They were getting there. You know, Mars made a station in Sagittarius. You were touching off a she went bald, and then she was accusing her mother of having affairs with her boyfriend.
I remember.
You know, when you jumped the gun and all. And Keith Ledger, the poor fellow, was sleeping like three hours.
Yeah.
I don't really think he was in drugs. I think his immune system was really, really down. That even sleeping pills and all these things or some antidepressant may have really affected him.
But he was really taking something because his wife left him for that reason. She said he was just doing too many drugs, and she'd warned him and given him an ultimatum. It didn't work, so finally she left him, you know.
Really?
That.
But I think also that even the sleeping pills, he can really have effect when you take too many of them or something because he was only sleeping like 3-4 hours or 2 hours or something.
Yeah.
But I personally feel that it's the last, the acting job that he did. I think it really emotionally drained him also.
Yes. Yeah.
Like when you're trying to bring out the meanest side of you to kill everybody, which is totally against his nature.
And also, I think from what I've seen in the trailers, the long trailers, he really doesn't seem to have much humor. Only some dry, wicked kind of sense of humor. Not the kind of humor that Jack Nicholson had when he was the Joker, you know.
And that's you see the thing. It was very foreign to what he was doing. He may have given a brilliant performance and all that, but. When you are talking about some of the worst human traits that you're trying to portray.
Yes.
must have been very difficult. And ironically, his chart was very much like Casanova, which he acted, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Because Casanova was also born with all these Pisces planets, which is very, very idealistic nature. Mercury, Venus, Sun, everything, Mars, everything in Pisces.
Yeah.
And Keith Ledger was very much like that also.
What's Keith's rising sign?
I'm trying to remember if it was Leo or... But I thought it was Leo with Saturn coming down in his chart. Because when planets start coming down, people start... but don't quote me. I haven't... I forgot. I do have his chart. I could actually quickly check it also. And, you know, in the last... from the last 2 weeks, we developed some fantastic websites, actually. And
yeah.
For all this... And one of the things I'm doing... is called astrotrends.net/astromedical. That people will be able to go in there, put in their date of birth, and actually check in all the illnesses or anything if they have.
Oh.
And also the source, or if they want us to contact anything, they can just leave it there. And then, you know, we might have some other illnesses, for example, which we do know the answer. So people will be able to relate to that. So it's a really interesting thing. And...
That is fantastic.
I have a really, really dear friend. Her name is Phyllis, actually. And we met at this Institute of Astrological Studies in Toronto. And it was she's such a wonderful, wonderful person, actually. She's much more into the Western, but she keeps going back and forth into the Eastern also because she's got a Mercury-Neptune conjunction. So she loves the philosophy. The Western aspect is not philosophical enough, you know, so she's going to deep spiritual aspects. I was telling her that there's a reason why you must have gone there. We should take that all the Indian system, the Dasa system and all that, and apply it to the original Indian system, which was the Western. The calculation of the sun and the moon and everything, for in 200 years ago, they're both identical.
Oh, so
but the Eastern system has gone with the constellations, but we go by the signs of the zodiac, which is 0 degrees Aries on 21st of March.
Right.
So we are going to be... I'm going to be for that also, just to check out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, Keith Ledger, let me have a quick look here.
But I thought the Indian system, the whole thing was based on constellations.
They are, but the planets, you see, the planets are completely back.
Yeah.
Like you would have Mercury and Scorpio instead of Sagittarius, for example.
Oh, interesting. Everything
had,
is one
back. By the way, Keith Ledger, given him, he was,
Keith
but
Ledger.
I'm not sure, 12:40 p.m., Cancer rising, Cancer and Leo, that's right. See, Saturn was at the very bottom of his chart, going down in his chart. So even though he got publicity, but he was not there for it. And he does have Mars in Pisces, that's right. See, he had the Sun in Aries, actually, not Pisces, but Mars, Mercury, Venus in Pisces, just like Casanova. Now, Mars in Pisces is one of the addictive aspects. And also it was squared to Neptune, so he was actually into drugs, that's right. I do remember this now. The Mars-Neptune square is most definitely addictions. Whatever you do, addiction. It's a very obsessive theme.
Yeah. Yeah.
And unfortunately so. But many people are very good with their feet, like Pelé was born with Mars in Pisces.
Yeah.
Jean Fonda was born with Mars in Pisces. And she made... Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Jean Fonda was born with Mars in Pisces, and she made millions from aerobics. And Baryshnikov was born with that in ballet. So it's how you use these aspects. I'm born with the Mars-Neptune square, but I've never taken of course, you see the Mars-Neptune square also indicates when you're dealing with, like I'm dealing with, this nightmare thing is being offset by the type of charts that I'm doing. Like
yeah.
Even the charts are all from artists and outside to serial killers to rapists to all these people.
Yeah.
And so when you are looking into the charts, that's how you're offsetting it. But I have no idea what beer tastes like or champagne tastes like, but everything
yeah.
that I do is an obsession. So and most successful people are born with the Mars-Neptune theme.
Okay.
Of course, it's good to be born with a sextile or trine rather than square.
Which
just indicates that the whole astrology is so much in ill repute, you know, that like people don't have all kinds of ideas about you. You just have to become totally immune to all of that.
I have a question. People, like if a girl is born with Mars in Pisces, what is she like in relationship?
Oh, excuse me one sec. Hello,
yeah.
Caller, you on the line?
I am. I have a question.
Yes?
I have several friends who are either Taurus or Cancer, and they're all doing terribly financially. Is there a reason for this?
I don't think it's... Are all your friends, have they done well before? Actually, ironically, both Taurus and Cancer are getting some good aspect from Jupiter this year, in about a month's time. It also depends on which month they were born. Like, I mean, which age group, I mean. Like, people are born in the 70s, for example. They're going through a very stressful period this month.
Who is that? The Taurus or the Cancer?
I'm sorry?
Who's going through a stressful this month?
I couldn't hear you.
Oh, which sign is going through stressful this month? Cancer or Taurus?
Well, no, the thing is, see, Gemini, Sagittarius, Virgo, and Pisces, those four signs are going through a completely new cycle. It's not a reward period for them. So maybe the Cancer person has some Gemini plans, for example. So you really have to take the whole chart, you know?
I understand.
But they are actually getting some good aspects. Now, of course, if it's late degrees, you really have to see the whole chart. That's a very open-ended question, actually.
I know. I'm sorry. It's very generalized, but I was wondering why all these people who are either Cancer or Taurus are all calling me up and telling me
about
their money.
The sign of Cancer is a very insecure sign. So even when they have a lot of money, they will still complain anyway. So you can't really trust what they're saying.
Okay.
It's their feeling. To me, you see, I want to devote one whole this thing just on happiness. What is happiness?
Right.
But, I mean, what's the use of becoming a billionaire when you have to eat rice because you have ulcers?
True.
To me, for example, and Shervin is also very much like me, actually. We understand a little bit of divine truth and makes us so happy. I mean, whether you're driving a Ferrari and all that is there, but the divine truth. So when you find happiness from little things in life,
yeah.
But Taurus is a very routine type of sign, you know, if they're into business, for example, or if they're normally, it's like a 95 routine type of aspect, depending on what type of business. Cancer is much more, they like to get things their way. What is your birth date, by the way?
Oh, I've called you before. My birthday is May 10th, 1943. And I was listening to your Mars and Pisces story. That was not very encouraging.
Which one?
You just were talking about Mars and Pisces. I have Mars and Pisces, but I'm not a drug addict.
No, but I also said, no, you see, the thing is, here's the way. I said Mars and Pisces can lead to addiction, but also Pele was born with that, Baryshnikov was born with that, Jane Fonda was born with that, and she made millions from just aerobics. That's Mars and Pisces, too.
Ah, okay.
Like when you take belly dancing and all that. You're an exceptionally bright person, but you have to be careful of the nervous system.
My nervous system is rotten.
Because you're a multitasking person. You've got a brilliant mind, but it's a bit of an erratic mind.
Yeah,
and, but
true,
you definitely
very true.
Do have a wisdom aspect. You have a Mercury Pluto sextile. I would love for you to go to our website and give some suggestions on this research projects that you're doing.
Okay.
And I like your generation, by the way. You're born at the tail end of that generation with Neptune 29 degrees of Virgo. Very close to nature, the organic things and naturopathy and all that. It's what I call the blues generation, actually.
Uh-huh.
And by the way, although you're a Taurus, but in love matters, relationships, you're definitely not like a Taurus. You're much more like a Gemini.
I am.
Because you're a stellium in Gemini. You have four planets in Gemini.
I know. I have a lot.
Yeah. But don't take that in these things. Like, the one thing that you have to be careful of is, like, for example, you do have Mars in Pisces, that's true, but it's squared to Saturn. That is an accident configuration.
That's
so you do need to be careful. That's why, for example, let's say you start smoking. It won't affect your lungs as much as it'll affect your heart. But you'll be very susceptible to strokes or, like, you need more physical rest. You have trouble sleeping, right?
Yeah. No, not anymore. I used to, but it's changed now. All of a sudden I'm sleeping a lot.
I see. But mainly because of that very, very active nervous system.
Right.
I wasn't fine with that, yeah. But you see, like in your case, for example, if you're having trouble and struggle, it's because of all the Gemini plans, exactly what I was saying. That you're a Taurus with Gemini planets, and Saturn is touching off your Mercury, Uranus, everything. It's stabilizing to some extent, but it is a major, what we call an action configuration, so you need to be a bit careful. You have some very lucky scenes, but don't get into any bungee jumping or anything.
I don't think I'm going to be doing that in the near future.
But you do have that. You see, it's a frustration when you want to do something and you cannot get the results. That part is a bit, that's finishing. The negative aspect is just finishing, by the way, in your case. In the next 2 weeks or so. Okay?
Okay. Thank you so much. You're so
welcome,
awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Hi, Shervin.
Hi.
Hi. You have to run, Shervin, or what?
Yeah, in about 2-3 minutes, I do have to get going.
Sure. Okay.
But that's interesting. I always learn, you know.
Yes. By the way, he had Venus in Pisces in opposition to Saturn, you know, Keith Ledger. So Venus-Saturn opposition is a bit of an unhappiness in love matters, in marriage.
Yeah.
Probably his wife left, and I can see the Mars-Neptune square for sure.
Yeah.
But see, these are tough things. I want to be able to have like 1,000 celebrities, and instantly it'll point out the major aspects right away.
Yeah.
That we don't look at just every aspect, but the major aspects right away, you know, what they are.
Interesting.
Or, for example, recently I've been looking at Lindsay Lohan. I like her chart. I like generally the sign people. Like, she has got a lot of charisma. She's Cancer, but she has got Mercury and Venus in Leo.
Yes.
So that part I do like. Now, her Mars is in Capricorn, and I'm just wondering with the negative theme in her chart. See, she has Moon in Taurus, and it's actually... No, I don't see that aspect. See, they've given her Cancer rising on, but I don't think that is the right one, though. I'm not sure if that's the right rising sign for her.
Well, she does seem to be sabotaging some of her success now, but I don't know.
Very much. Yeah. She belongs to this new age group, actually, you know, all the geological revolution and the free energy and all that.
Yeah.
And all the pollution, all that. She has a certain, a lot of charisma. I have a feeling that the first 6 months of next year, she'll do exceptionally well. When Jupiter tests off her Mercury. But it'd be nice to be able to help all these people. And so once our thing is finished, then we'll be able to send out all our newsletters and everything to the next day. Because there was no program, on astrology, web-based astrology, that we could send out newsletter personalized. So that's what we're developing right now. We'll be able to put client numbers and all that directly in it, and right away.
Yeah.
All the people, like this Sun, Moon, this fellow, you know, the Reverend Moon, he had exactly a Saturn Mars aspect in his chart in the ninth house on the helicopter crash. I would never suggest to people like that, to travel that time.
Yeah.
But she does have some very positive aspects. The first 6 months of next year, that's when it shows up. I'm sorry.
When Saturn coming up in the chart, you said it's the middle of the fifth when you consider it coming up, or is it still the seventh, really?
Well, you see, till fourth, when it's fourth, you still keep a low profile, and as soon as you start going in the fifth, of course, you've got to be careful of the stock market then. One of my clients this other lady, she became a client afterwards, and I was asking, she had a real nightmare aspect in her chart from the fifth house, all the Mars, Neptune, everything, and she never had any major accidents and all that, so I asked her that, did she lose a lot of money in the stock market? And she was actually a broker. I said, your people also must have lost money. She said, yes, a lot of people lost money because of that. And she lost over $100,000.
Yeah.
So I told her she's lucky. It's not physical aspect, it's just money.
Yes.
That's it. When you give charity, that offsets the theme.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So that you voluntarily lose the money.
Yes.
But as long as you're not doing it just for charity, you're not doing it for tax deduction, the whole concept goes away then.
Yeah, I got you.
That becomes important, yeah.
But
what you should think is that you have till it goes in the fifth house to lay the foundation. Just when it starts going above the fifth house, then your hobbies, your passions become like your career.
Yeah.
And you start taking off from there. I started actually when my astrology, when Saturn was in my fifth house.
Yeah, right now it's in the sixth, and I think, you know, it'll eventually go into the seventh, but right now it's in my sixth house. But I just feel like things haven't improved as much as I'd hoped, you know?
No, but the thing is, see, with the first 6 months of next year, Jupiter will be touching off your Mercury. The next 6 months, I'll be finished with all my reports and everything, with the automatic part of it, for example, and all the research, everything that we want to do, we're doing about 10, 12 different websites, and they're very, very accurate, absolutely, with thousands and thousands of charts there, which will be automatically done. And you are perfect for that also, Shervin. So with the first 6 months of next year, when Jupiter touches off your Mercury, your Venus, everything, we'll be ready for it.
Yeah.
And now, I mean, it's the second show now, and you've done it for the first time, the whole world is listening to you, and you're natural. I know you tend to resist the astrology chart, but you're natural. You've got all these planets in the ninth house. Remember,
but I'd hoped with Jupiter in my 10th, although I was born with it, but I'd hoped with it in the 10th right now.
Oh, you'll have a lot of success in acting as well. But I have a feeling that you'll have your own. You know, Spielberg is born Mercury in Sagittarius also.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But when you act like Matt Damon, for example, he wrote the script and he actually started in his own movie.
Yes, yes. I've started writing shorts. We're going to be filming one in August.
Oh, fantastic. You know, actually Sylvester Stallone also did the same thing.
Yeah.
He also started in his own movies.
The money is in the features, but right now I'm starting with a short because I'm inexperienced in writing. So
beautiful.
The ideas, but I don't know how to, in terms of writing a script, the rules and the format and that sort of thing, I'm not as experienced.
Oh, that part is very easy. Do you have Final Draft at all?
Yes, I use that. Yes.
That's it. That has all the format, everything.
Yes.
My suggestion would be try to read Just one book I would suggest is that Sid Field, I forget his name.
William.
You know how the resolution, William, all that, how the setup is there, the plot points, and then the resolution.
I think it's William Goldman you're talking about. Yeah, just a well-known author. Yeah.
Yeah, there are two major authors I found, and I found to be very useful, because I also did my thing from the Hollywood Film Institute, actually my director's course and all that, and because we'll be doing a lot of videos and all that also, and you know there's a certain time when it comes up. For example, right now if somebody comes up with all it's the last stages of the Sagittarius theme, it's going into Capricorn now.
Yes.
That's why you have all these Christian Zionists and all these things playing a big part in the election and all that. Unfortunately, screwing up the whole thing still. Until November, it's there.
Yeah.
And people are backing McCain and all that. And Obama, I mean, he'd be won by a landslide, but we have to see how these other people try to play in between. Because November, November 2008, Pluto moves into Capricorn. And for the next several years, 10, 12 years, it'll be in Capricorn. So all this world energy and free energy. And in the UFO, I've always said, by the way, that it's quite possible that they actually made UFO here. They're saying UFO, and now they've actually come out with something very similar to the UFO, just cylindrical, with electromagnetic forces. We wrote about 15 years ago that from now, they'll be using all the anti-gravity and the electromagnetism of the Earth itself, and all the free energy. And that's exactly, and completely silent, and they've actually developed that. So
but
it's quite possible.
I do believe, though, Hassan, that in the 1940s, when these UFOs first started appearing, we didn't have any such technology then.
Maybe not. No, it's quite possible. But it's just that, and I'm sure, of course, we are not the only people in the world, for sure.
No, absolutely, right.
Yes, that's for sure.
But I just think that we, whatever it was, we either commandeered or got our hands on something, and we were able to back engineer and learn from it, you know?
Yes, it's quite possible, from the Roswell, you mean, yeah.
Yeah. Because at that time already they had these.
And I think that's going to be a huge, huge thing. But if somebody comes up with a film, what I'm saying, a script, along those lines, it would be fantastic.
Yeah.
Because whenever a movie comes on, you'll find that certain movies are very, very popular at that time.
But here's my question, is if I don't finish my script on, for instance, this topic until after of this year, after the once Pluto goes into Capricorn, is it too late?
No, it's not, no. Because you're born with all those planets right on top.
Yeah.
So even when the planets are the very bottom, they keep on touching them off.
No, but I mean.
Like right now, for example, you have Saturn squaring your Mercury and Venus.
Mm-hmm.
This has been going on for. It's almost coming to an end now. Now you're a multitasking person like me.
Yeah.
We both have that aspect, and this is the time you become like a total genius. You actually finish what you start.
After it ends or during.
Well, the thing is, instead of taking like a struggle and delays, you should take it as a testing period.
Yeah.
Because I hired a very inefficient secretary on the same Saturn Mercury aspect which you're going through. And I had to develop, because of her inefficiency, I became very efficient.
Yeah.
I developed fantastic databases, the whole formatting. One day she was really late, and I felt very embarrassed because I hadn't finished something for my clients. When she came here, and I was really just smiling, and she said I'd be upset, and I wasn't. She said, "Why are you smiling?" I said, "Well, because everything is finished." She said, "What do you mean? You have 10 reports to do?" I said, "Yes." It took me less than 30 seconds to do each one then, because I developed a macro in Visual Basic to actually compensate for what you were doing manually. Now the computer does it automatically, all the formatting. She was so upset. I still thank her for being inefficient at that time. Because it organized me so much.
Right.
And that's how you have to take it. So that Saturn Mercury aspect is one of the best ones. So when you get delays, a telephone doesn't work, and I always take that opportunity to go to the next level then.
Yeah.
That maybe it was, like you're a very fast thinker, and you need the best gadgets, best communication things.
You're right, yeah.
Yeah.
And yet, at this time, financially, it's a bit of a struggle, so I have to...
It always has, with a Saturn theme. That's how you look for the disaster. But the main thing is how you can make a difference in the life of the masses. Because you're like a preacher, you've got Mercury in the ninth house, it's just that you don't realize it. Even though I realize it.
Yeah. What was discouraging, for instance, last night at a party, I met a couple of actors who are same ethnicity as me, and they're doing decently well in Hollywood. They're booking jobs.
Well, you're supposed to have a much bigger climb, not just depend on other people, but you're supposed to have many more of these things where you're completely changing people's thinking. These actors are just following a script, living on other people's fantasies. You're supposed to do more than that.
I just fear, because I'm a Capricorn, I feel like I have to build up my resume, or is it more of a sudden kind of thing? I don't know, but...
I think you should just stop worrying so much about this aspect. For a minute, start going much more with the Sagittarius energy. on a daily basis how he can make a difference in the life of the masses. If it's by film, if it's by talking on the radio about these aspects, you have no idea. Even right now, even the archives, for example, so many people listen to it and how much they gain. And I really, really respect your viewpoint.
Thank you.
Because it's just, like you said, for example, who's in Aquarius today, and the first lady who called was in Aquarius. These are synchronicities that you are aware of.
Yes.
You and I are very much aware of these aspects, and these are the little things which make a huge, huge difference in the life of the masses.
Yes.
I met a lot of kings and queens and a lot of people, and we have, as you know, like more than like 15,000 clients. And the many tycoons, for example, and yet when they, you know, whenever they're going through some difficult part, when they speak to me, in less than 30 seconds, the whole attitude toward life changes because they suddenly realize that the priorities were completely screwed up.
Yes.
And that aspect, the understanding, the reasoning behind events, and why, so instead of taking it like a struggle, you should really take it, these are the lessons of life. If you can be happy and everything now, but also follow the whole, like Beauty and the Beast, for example, the Libra Scorpio theme. It was there in the archetypes and all that. It's there. So when Walt Disney, who was a Sagittarius actually, when he started this aspect, he really caught that whole theme, just like Prince and the Pauper, the Leo and Virgo theme.
Right.
So if you just focus on the upcoming events for the next several years, we have Neptune in Aquarius. We have we are about to make some major, major breakthroughs.
Yes.
Like especially the first 6 months of next year will be absolutely fantastic. I personally think you should also try for television as well.
Oh yeah, I mean my
more than just a film.
No. Actually, the funny thing is, TV is the one where I've had trouble breaking into.
Really?
Network television. Like,
by the way, you know, if there's a documentary or biography, whenever you are on any of these type of things as well.
Yeah.
I think you should look into that as well. Something where there's an educational aspect also involved, not becoming just a educator. I don't mean like that, you know, but with your ninth house themes.
Yeah, I don't have an interest in being a teacher, and that's how it works.
No, it's not the teaching part. It's just getting excited about it.
Yeah, it's teaching
about something.
Through
it's a novel
acting,
way of presenting.
Writing.
Like, you have to understand that you're like a promoter of God's work. That's the ninth house theme. Astrology is the philosophy of life, as you know.
Right.
And it gives us, as long as we understand that we cannot underestimate the power of prayers, and we are... regardless of which religion a person is born with, it gives us an independent means of understanding what every religion is trying to say.
Yes.
It's such a powerful tool.
I've always maintained, yes.
It's probably the most powerful tool you'll ever have in your knowledge.
Yeah.
And it's just a matter of little time. See, with Saturn touching off Mercury and all that, you never really get accomplishment at that time. But you will get the rewards very soon, and you've got to be ready for them.
Because
with that Jupiter coming into your 10th house,
it is in my 10th right now.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I wonder if your time is slightly off and maybe Jupiter is already still in the 9th house, and here you are speaking to somebody in a foreign country, foreign land, a Sagittarius astrologer, all these Jupiter themes. Your MC is what? Do you remember what your MC is? Hi, Shivan. Hello? I think Shivan had to leave. Actually, he was in Los Angeles, actually. And really, really good friend of mine. I hope you're on air, it seems like it. Well, so let me just discuss some other aspects. Let me just also talk about some general aspects of the people and the different signs. See, with Saturn being the sign of Virgo right now, it's affecting the signs of Gemini, Virgo, Sagittarius, and Pisces. These four signs are being affected by Saturn. And so they'll experience a lot of delays, but also they have to understand that by end of this year, this is the time to establish all the foundations, the groundwork. And all your future success depends on that. They'll become much more responsible. For some signs, it's a very good sign. For example, Gemini and Sagittarius can deal with the discipline of Saturn. And they are able to finish what they start. They become much more responsible. And they become more mature. They become a bit more like a Capricorn. The Virgo and Pisces, it affects energy to some extent. It physically affects them, and they can become more, a bit more down easily and start thinking more negative. But it's just a temporary phase, that's it. Now, Jupiter is also making some very positive aspects for some signs. For example, the sign of Taurus, son of Cancer, even Virgo, son of Scorpio, son of Capricorn, and son of Pisces. Jupiter is making very positive aspects in all their, like, at least their sun signs. If they have more than that, then it can be even more so. And throughout this year, it will continue, right, till about December. And now, some signs, if you're born late Leo, Taurus, Aquarius, and Scorpio, let me get them in the right order, actually, is Taurus, Leo, Scorpio, and Aquarius, then you're getting a very, very spiritual aspect, but a very confusing aspect also in a person's life. When you're experiencing only on the material aspects, then this aspect really physically affects you. And since you have Neptune touching off your sun sign, and now Virgo, Pisces, Sagittarius, and Gemini are also getting an aspect from Uranus. This can make a person absolutely brilliant, a bit erratic. For some people, it can make them quite eccentric as well. It's like sudden shocks to which you recover. But if you're using new technology, etc., it's fantastic. It's a need within you to break free from restrictions. And now, as far as the charts are concerned, by the way, in politics, like people had asked us some questions that who's going to win the election or that. I personally do like Obama, mainly because he's quite inspirational. And but there are some faults. Everybody will have them, of course. He has a Mercury-Neptune square, which I guess is very important in this day and age as a politician. And like we keep on insisting, for example, that if he's a Muslim or not, if he's a Muslim, so what if he was a Muslim? It doesn't mean every Muslim person is a terrorist or something also, you know. Islam has some fantastic aspects of it. And you know, like there's one thing, the religion and then the practitioners. If the practitioners do something wrong, you can't really blame the religion itself, unfortunately, and you know what people end up doing. But he has a Mercury-Neptune square, so from time to time, where you know the talk of the flip-flop, it's not that he will keep changing his themes a little bit too much, and but it softens the Leo side, makes him less stubborn, actually, makes him willing to listen to other people also, makes him much more compassionate, and that he can understand the crooked system, because the whole system is so crooked. So it's like walking on eggshells and in a minefield. So he's doing that very well, I feel. And once he becomes a president, I think his main aspect is that he's quite sincere about it, that he wants to bring peace. The only problem is he's got a Moon-Pluto square, which is a very destructive aspect also, the deep subconscious level. We can make mistakes. So his biggest problem would be trusting the wrong people. And but the Moon-Pluto, you see, it indicates when you destroy something to recreate, to build higher, to transform. So if he goes to Afghanistan, and we have no business being there either, because I don't personally believe that Osama bin Laden was involved with all this effort at all. In fact, America funded him to fight, you know, in Afghanistan, all that. These people, these poor people in Afghanistan, they've been there for years and years just fighting at war, first against Russia, then now America, for example. And Canada has absolutely no business being there at all. He was supposed to be peacekeepers before, and they've done so many tortures and all that. But all that is coming to an end by end of this year. And at least the religious part would be gone. And so hopefully, but that's only my thing which I'm really concerned about. When it comes to Iran, there are certain years and certain months, I mean, which are dangerous. The month of October is a very, very critical month, actually, for the whole world. People who are born under the sign of Taurus, Scorpio, Leo, and Aquarius will become much more assertive, much more aggressive, but there's a certain vindictive aspect there in the world. So when they do attack, for example, there's a lot of torture in an extreme way. Or the movies that come out, for example, at that time, it's very extreme, with that Mars being the sign of Scorpio. So every 2 years, approximately 2 year transit, and that's the time, because it also touches off Neptune for the entire age group of the 60s. And both Obama and Ahmadinejad of Iran, they're both in that 60s age group. So it'll be a bit of a nightmare period, any scandals. So I have a feeling there'll be real dirty tactics in the month of October. And of course, the first week of November, that's when the election is. But October is when it's the most critical month for Obama, actually. Actually, it's also critical for McCain. I'm trying to remember his... no, he doesn't have Neptune Leo. No, in his case, it's not that month. But November is quite positive for Obama, actually. And there's absolutely no question in my mind that it will be a landslide if it were not for all this media who are trying to hide all the things. And I mean, you have to understand this. There's a multi-billion dollar industry that's going on everywhere. And we just have an email, actually, from someone also. Just give me one sec, and we'll see. And we have some question, I believe, here. Let me actually put down the number so we can have Sherwin back, even though we have some just a few minutes. But I'm going to put the number down on right on Skype so we can have Sherwin back. So he can just call that number, and we'll have him. And we'll have Sherwin back again. It's so nice to have him also. We hear it will, let's see. And we can't, I guess we'll have to leave it for next time, actually. This call. And we only have like about 5-10 minutes left. And if anybody wants to call, our number is 1-877-876-5227 in the States. And if you're calling from Canada, it's 888-815-9756. I'd also like to hear from people, even if you want to talk about some heated debate about politics, that's fine. I'm quite tolerant. It doesn't matter. I'll give you the astrological reasoning, why I'm saying certain things. My concern is not the individual, but how it affects the masses. Like, for example, Obama has Venus in Cancer and Mercury in Leo. So it is, it's a very nurturing combination for people. It's, you know, it's not only that he is very much into, like, all the barbecues and the family values and the children, and it is really a very much a family man. There's absolutely no doubt in my mind. There's no question in my mind. And but when McCain keeps talking about, like, bomb, 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 Iran, or Hillary talks about obliterating Iran, I mean, this is such nonsense. So that's not how negotiation, that's not a, like, and he has never, ever said anything like that at all. But regardless of the policies, how you come across the diplomacy, that's very, very important also. And that's the part. And he's absolutely right that he is like a completely the American dream, that nobody can say he has lived the way he has. And so it's a very positive aspect. And it's coinciding with the world events, the way they are going, actually. And because, unfortunately, the reputation of America has been completely tarnished in the Middle East. They will never, ever trust them again at all. Hello, Sherwin.
Hi. Hi, Sherwin.
How are you?
Sorry we got cut off. I don't know what happened, but just...
Well, that's the Saturn-Mercury aspect, remember?
Yeah.
You did the right thing on the computer. You put it on the Skype, and I gave you the number, and you just called toll-free, and it's perfect.
Wonderful.
That's how we learn from these things, actually, you know.
We sure do. Get more efficient.
Yeah, and it's good this way because nobody can call us now because we've got you're on that line, which is fine. I don't want to take any other call anyways. We're just discussing just the politics and these things. So any other questions you like to ask? You know, like even from personal experience, when we talk about these things, Sherwin, that's how people learn, whether it's learning this or when we go to the archives, actually.
Yeah.
And when they go to astrotrends.net, they'll see that as well. I'm redesigning my site completely, actually. It's a really, really interesting one. And one of the things I'm going to have is a full moon party. So there's a right on top of the zodiac, there's a moon phases there. And when it becomes full moon, the whole website will change. And we'll have people from all around the world, and we'll have all kinds of this, like a full moon party.
Wow.
So quite a few, some interesting things we are doing that. Well, the other thing is the astrological, the dating thing, you know, Sherwin, myastrolove.net, that's why I'm asking people, if you want to join it, you can join it free, and you'll have a lot of free analysis there, actually. And they can just put their date of birth, and they can compare their charts with other people, and other members, and other celebrities, to get an idea of what it's like.
Very good. Yeah.
Because it's so important, you know, to find the best potential in yourself, to live up to the highest potential of yourself. And that's what astrology helps us. We can never really, you know, overcome limitations, you might say. Nobody can do that. If you're born 5 foot, for example, and you want to do a pole vault jump, for example, like that part, or Olympic champion on that, for example, it would be difficult. But there are many things with five foot people can do. So within your own limitations that nature has ordained, there's so much we can do.
Yeah.
But to me, it's so important to find the highest potential within yourself. Also, yeah. You know.
Yeah.
So did you, by the way, did you find that late Pisces rising, does that seem to work with you?
Late doesn't seem to?
Late Pisces rising.
Yeah, I am. I'm 26 degrees ascendant, 26 Pisces.
Because originally I think you had something else, right? You had Aries rising, I think.
No. I'm definitely Pisces rising. It makes sense.
Yeah, because I remember I always felt that you had Pisces rising because there is a certain vulnerability about you. But underneath that, you have a lot of Aries, of course, and you've got all the martial arts and all these other things also.
Yeah. But definitely, I think the last time we finally rectified it, the MC being about almost 28 degrees Sag, but not quite, 27 and a half.
I see.
So, yeah, and that seemed to be the best fit for me, you know?
You know, you're absolutely right, and Pluto is just leaving your ninth house. There's some major events happening in the life of the parents, according to that. Because the fourth, tenth axis is getting touched up by Pluto, you see?
Yeah.
So as Pluto moves into your 10th house, there's a major restructuring going on in your whole career. In fact, it's already started. You remember the strike they had in the actor strikes and all these things that they had?
Absolutely, yeah. Yep.
Yeah, that's all that Pluto theme.
Beyond
just going back, partly in 9th house, just for a little while, and then going back again.
I know. I was actually a little scared because it's beyond my control, but hopefully it will bring good things for me.
Yes. And the thing is, you know, every slow-moving planet is moving up in your chart, if you think about it. Uranus, Neptune, Pluto, everything.
Yeah.
And will be all your life. That's a very, very powerful medium.
Yeah.
That's why I think it's more than just the movies, even though you will be doing the movies too. But hopefully we'll get into satellite also.
I'll get into what?
We will be on satellite as well, actually, for the radio and all that.
Yeah.
Around the world. Don't underestimate the astrology part also. But this will be just a... this wonder thing which will help us. You see, the more publicity that you gain, the more you'll be able to influence the people and help them also.
Yeah.
And I have no doubt in my mind that you will actually, because not only are you a damn good actor, but you also, you're very, very humanitarian. Your whole family has that aspect about it also, you know.
Yeah. But do you think that with Pluto going in the 10th, how would that help with my acting?
Well, the last degree, because it's coming out from the 9th house, so when you think about life and death and God and all that, that's the only thing, see, when there's a major event happening in the life of any genetic ties. So my only concern would be that if you can go to a place of worship just because it brings a beggar and a king together from time to time, that really helps.
I do that, yeah.
Yeah, and to have that deep faith in that God and not to deny the miracles of God. That by the last degrees, you know, that you have to voluntarily go along with it rather than events forcing you to do that. But the 10th house is a powerful theme. Like in your, you'll probably get some movies which are, you know, where you are helping the mass. Like, for example, you know, what was that, Julia Roberts, you remember that she, Ellen Brockovich, something that she did?
I'm sorry, Hassan, you sound a little muffled. I don't know why.
Because unfortunately they're having some problem, I think, with the thing. But in Ellen Brockovich, remember that one, that movie?
Where
she helped saving a lot of the people. Some of that aspect will be some saving aspect will be coming up in your career. So we'll keep track of that also. I think we're just about running out of time, Sherwin. But thank you very much. And in the meantime, if anybody wants to write to us, it's stargaze@astrotrends.net. So our website is astrotrends.net. And if you like, you can send email to either myself or Sherwin. And till next Sunday, wish you all the best. And we'll be back next Sunday. Thank you so much, Sherwin.
Yeah. Thanks very much. It was a pleasure.
Yes. Thanks a lot, Steven.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Bye then.